Let me go through it with you quickly. We're just about to wrap it up. Verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, or all the Gentiles. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return unto thine own head. Look up here just a moment, please. The phrase, the day of the Lord, that is used 72 times in the Old Testament. It's talking about a period of time. It has a specific date and a general date. The day of the Lord is any time in history when God intercedes in the affairs of man personally on the earth. The general usage of that definition is after the rapture of the church. The rapture is not in the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord starts after the rapture and extends through that 7-year period of time, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, and it stops before the great white throne judgment, because that's not on earth. The great white throne judgment, Revelation 20:11, I saw the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was a great throne. Great throne, white throne. And so that 1,007 years is a day of the Lord in an elongated period of time. But the day of the Lord, as used in the book of Zechariah, is the day that Jesus steps back on the earth. How do you determine which it is, the general or the specific usage? By the context. And the context of Obadiah is the day that Jesus Christ steps back on the earth. Now notice verse 16. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain. Is that talking about taking a fifth of Jack Daniels and going up on the Temple Mount and getting drunk? No, it's talking about being intoxicated with power by controlling that Temple Mount. And that's exactly what has been done for almost 2,000 years. Look here in verse 17. But upon Mount Zion. Zion is a synonymous term with Jerusalem. So when you see Zion, it's talking about Jerusalem. But in Jerusalem shall the deliverance come, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Verse 18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. At the return of Jesus Christ, the Jewish people will wipe out the Edomites. By the way, I guess I better finish the rest of the story. I left you with these Edomites running into southern Judah. They became the Edomians. The Edomians, Herod the Great, was the one responsible for refurbishing that temple in the time of Jesus Christ. It was called Herod's Temple. In 70 AD, in accordance with the prophecy that Jesus made, the Roman soldiers came across the Kidron Valley, devastated the temple, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and dispersed the Jews into the four corners of the earth. Now, the Edomites, the Edomians, joined the Jews, their brothers, to help fight the Romans. The Jews were scattered to four corners of the earth. Let me tell you where the Edomites were scattered. To a place in the Balkans called Bosnia. That's where these Edomites were sent, to Bosnia. That's 70 AD. My time is gone. Let me just quickly jump over to 1917. General Allenby, commanding officer of the British forces, defeats the Turkish Empire in the Jezreel Valley. He goes to Jerusalem, does a mopping up exercise. As he hears from the Ottoman Empire, there is going to be a surrender ceremony. The day is December the 9th, 1917. I know this story because of Horatio Spafford's daughter. Oh, you remember Horatio Spafford. We sang his song last night, It Is Well With My Soul. He was a missionary at the American colony in Jerusalem. They were there that day when this happened. General Allenby gets on his white horse. He rides over to the Jaffa Gate. He's going to the surrender ceremony. As he approaches the gate, he pulls the reins back on his horse. He dismounts from the horse. His military aide said, sir, aren't you going into the ceremony? He said, I am. He said, why'd you get off your horse? He said, because one day my Savior, Jesus Christ, will ride a white horse into this city. I'm going to walk in. He walks in today, and he takes the surrender. As he surrenders, he looks and he knows he has to name somebody as the mayor of Jerusalem. Now the Ottoman Empire, who was in charge of the Middle East for 400 years, is out of power. And so he's going to name a new mayor of Jerusalem. He sees a man, his name is Husseini El Husseini. Mr. Husseini, you're now mayor of Jerusalem. That's a cute young man with you. What's his name? Aman Husseini. That's your nephew. Aman El Husseini in 1917 is 11 years old. Aman El Husseini grows up. He goes to Mecca. He becomes the Hajj Aman El Husseini. He is made the Mufti of Jerusalem, the most powerful Islamic leader in all of the Middle East. In 1938, he gets a communique from Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler says to him, "Come to Berlin. I'll show you how we can rid the world of these Jews." The Hajj Aman El Husseini goes to Berlin. Adolf Hitler puts him in charge of the Islamic world and their fight to rid the world of Jews. Adolf Hitler had put up a 1 million-watt powered radio station on the Mediterranean coast in Monaco. He told the Hajj Aman El Husseini to go on that powerful radio station and call for the Muslims of the world to destroy the Jewish people. By the way, everything I'm telling you is documented in the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. I'm writing a book on it. I'm simply having to go through the history very quickly. He tells Hajj Aman El Husseini to go back to Israel and wipe out the Jews. And here's what he says. Before you go, go over to Bosnia and get the elite commando unit out of Bosnia. If you know anything about World War II, Adolf Hitler would use a blitzkrieg to take over a country. At the apex of the blitzkrieg would be the elite commando unit from Bosnia. World War I started because of a Bosnian. World War II started because of a Bosnian. They were the elite commando unit that Hitler would use to take over a country. Hajj Aman El Husseini, there's a picture in the Holocaust Museum of him inspecting these elite commandos. He picks them up. He brings them back to Israel. It's 1948. It's the War of Independence. The United Nations has just told Israel they can become a state among the nations of the world. And the Arab world says, we'll wipe them into the sea. And the elite commando unit from Bosnia comes in to lead the fight. But they lose. That wasn't the end. The Hajj Aman El Husseini had a nephew too. And his nephew's name, Yasser Arafat. Have you been paying attention? Yasser Arafat, Hajj Aman El Husseini, Husseini El Husseini, Herod the Great, Haman, Agag, Amalek, Esau, the descendants of Esau are the Palestinian people of today, who are going to try to kill the Jew and take their land. Exactly what they're doing. And Obadiah tells us when it's over. Not when they negotiate a peace, but at the time of the second coming of Christ, the Palestinians, the Edomites, will be destroyed. And they will be as if they have never been forever. And never, never before in history have we been just like this. Never have the Edomites had this power. They will be destroyed, the Palestinian people, when Christ comes back. But before that, 7 years of trouble. And before that, pow! And we're out of here to be with him. My question, folks, if we're here where the book says Christ will come back, how close could be, could happen tonight. Father, thank you for your precious holy word. It's amazing, it's awesome, articulate, accurate, authoritative, absolute. It lays out a scenario that we've seen described through the history lesson and the lesson from prophecy. Never, ever in the history of the world has this scenario, this game plan, been in place as it is today. The leaders of this world trying to bring a resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, that is the Jacob-Esau struggle. They will never do it. Only Jesus can do it when he comes back. And we're at that point in history. In light of that, allow us to determine, because of what this divine description tells us, we must make decisions that will be in accord with you. And let us realize the urgency of the moment in which we're living and live in light of that truth. Thank you for your word and giving it to us to help us to understand the times, as John D. Bryan said, the times in which we're living. In my precious name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.